You announced some months ago that you were having what I forget the exact terminology you used, but what sort of is a weekend maximum fun Sound of Young America experience, maximum fun con.
I like to compare it to the Wayman Tisdale Smooth Jazz Cruise.
Yes, exactly. That's, I've always associated you with Wayman Tisdale, and I've never quite understood why. I thought it was your basketball career. Tell
You
me
thought
a
it was out because I was so good at boxing out.
That's right, exactly. That's your real strength as a host. Tell me a little bit about what that is, what the idea and the impetus behind it was, and how it hasn't happened yet, but how the sales and how the buildup has gone so far.
There was sort of a couple of impetuses behind it. One was that I had a wedding and my aunt and uncle didn't go because they had already booked a trip on the Dave Cause Smooth Jazz Cruise. There are multiple smooth jazz cruises, if you were wondering. And that kind of annoyed me. But then I kind of thought, man, I should have a sweet cruise. And then I had gone to this conference that happened to be in Seattle at the same time as, or I was at Bumbershoot, excuse me, in Seattle. And it was at the same time as this thing called PAX, which is the Penny Arcade Expo. And it is a video game conference that is sort of a, f it is both the fan conference for video games and the industry conference for video games. And it's run by these guys who make a web comic about video games. It's a very popular web comic. But they also get, 50,000 people coming to this conference that they put on. And it was originally like, hey, our webcomic's kind of about video games. We like video games. Let's have like a video game weekend. And then when another conference went out of business, it became the video game industry conference. And I'm sure it's how they make all their money and et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, man, I wonder if I could do something like that, because there isn't anything like that for the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, like comedy and, certain kinds of nerd stuff that aren't comic books or sci-fi. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll have a con, like I'll have like a Comic Con, because I had gone to Comic Con and frankly thought it was really smelly. And so I was not into going back. And I just didn't want to wait in line for 4 hours to see a panel on, I don't even know, Why the Last Man or something like that. And so I thought maybe I could put on a con. So I looked into putting on cons, and it was just more complicated and annoying than I wanted to get involved with, frankly, and really expensive. Like I couldn't figure out how to make it like cool enough to be worth the money for people. So then I was like, well, what's another alternate thing? And I was on the website for UCLA because we were thinking about holding this conference that we were thinking about putting together at UCLA. And they have this like retreat center in the mountains east of Los Angeles. And it's only for educational events, which I'm a public radio show, so I get to qualify as an educational event. And it's sort of like an ecosystem. Like they set it up, so they have staff there that handles everything. All you have to pay is a flat fee per person. I thought, you know what? Like, I bet I could set up like the coolest sort of theme cruise in a summer camp context. And I could bring together all these cool people, and I bet I could get enough people to come that it would pay for people that are I like and are my friends that I know, through the show or elsewhere to come and present whatever cool thing it is that they do. And so I was like, do I think I could do this? So I got in touch with a few friends, like John Hodgman, who's a contributor on The Daily Show, and his best pal and one of my favorite dudes, Jonathan Colton, who's a very funny singer-songwriter, and some comedians I know. And I was like, hey, would you guys be interested in like coming to the woods for a weekend and like having a thing for like 100 people? And they were all like, yeah, that sounds fun. So I started like making spreadsheets and stuff, and eventually, what ended up happening is I booked all these people that I thought were amazing, and then I put tickets on sale. I charged people like the amount of money that it would cost to like, I don't know, go to like a cool all-inclusive resort or something like that. So it's sort of like a cool like a vacation thing, and we sold all the tickets right away, like in 2 weeks. I don't even a week and a half. And I was like, oh yeah, this is fucking great. Like all my favorite things in this place, all these people who really love them and like want to meet each other and hang out and, you know, drink. There's this guy called Dr. Cocktail who's going to be there. He is a cocktail historian, and he is making this punch that was originally created for the Columbian Exposition in, I guess it would be, what, 1892? and so we're going to drink huge volumes of Columbian Exposition punch, which is probably made with some, like, you know, bitter green liqueur or something like that.
And the blood of the colonies or something as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, have a really great time. And this is feels like such a, like, I was so surprised when I sold all the tickets to it. Like, I didn't have any idea what it was going to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had to put the conference deposits on credit cards. I'd only had one credit card, so I got a bunch of new credit cards with zero, with like 1 year of no interest. And I just put I put $20,000 on credit cards. You know, and luckily I had very good credit going in. I don't think I do anymore. And it really worked out. And I was like, oh, like, really, you know, what I'm offering people is this thing that they really care about. And only a couple hundred people have to really care about it in order to make it, like, completely financially viable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they really actually care about it. And that's basically the thing that I'm selling. You know, Hodgman was in, there was this article in Wired. They interviewed John Hodgman about his previous career as a literary agent. And what was the woman who's the star of Grace Under Fire?
Brett Butler. Yeah,
Brett Butler.
I remember that interview, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a literary agent, and he wrote a letter to Bruce Campbell because he loved The Evil Dead so much. And said, hey, you should write a book. Can I be your literary agent? And when I say that he was a literary agent, I believe he was working as a receptionist at a literary agency. So he wrote a letter to his hero, Bruce Campbell. And Bruce Campbell said yes. And they went out and pitched it all around town. And it was the same time as Brett Butler was pitching her thing. And in my mind for a second, Brett Butler turned into the former San Francisco Giants center fielder, Brett Butler.
Right.
So Brett Butler was pitching her thing, and, you know, she got like a quadrillion dollar advance because 2 million people watch her on TV every week. Bruce Campbell got like a $3,000 advance because no one in publishing knew who he was. But Bruce Campbell has, you know, 30,000 people that live and die for Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead and The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. And Brett Butler, even though millions of people watch her every week, none of them really give a shit.
Right.
You know, it's just something that they watch. And I, you know, every time something like this happens, I realize the extent to which, you know, the media economy is moving towards people who give a shit over people who are willing to tolerate something.
Right.
You know, it's no longer something that's just good enough so people don't change the channel. Now it's something that people pick.
In the news business, there's been this big blow up the last month or so. You may have seen about micropayments and the idea that what we need to do is get everybody to pay a fraction of a penny to read every news article, and therefore we'll recreate this mass audience and recreate this business model. And what I always want to say is the answer is not micropayments, it's macropayments. It's finding a few people who love you so much that they are willing to spend a significant amount of money. They feel that connection, and they're willing to express it in dollar terms. You
yeah,
create something for them to have.
I talked to Doc Searles a little bit about sort of he hates micropayments, but he has a sort of a pseudo micropayments. It's sort of like the basic idea is you would make you would basically budget a certain amount of money for supporting media that you like,
right?
And then it would sort of invisibly track what media you consume, and sort of apportion the money on that basis. And I don't, you know. If somehow something happened to achieve critical mass like that, then great. I mean, that's fine with me, but I'm not going to put any effort into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll take your money. You know, but like right now, what I'm working on is trying to get people to like my thing enough that they'll give me $2, $5, $10, or $20 a month.
Yeah. And how many people do that?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds, and it's maybe, I think it's maybe 5% of my total listenership.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. I'm happy with it. I mean, I always can have more. And I was really surprised at how many I added with my last pledge drive last year. You realize real quick when you're doing something listener supported why public radio stations have pledge drives. It's because they really, really work. And hopefully my next one will be as pleasantly surprising, but you know, it's kind of humming along.
Well, I gotta say, I'm a fan of the show. I think you do great work, and I think it's you're a really interesting model for where I think a lot of our businesses are going. So, thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Do I get to join any Harvard social clubs? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, having done this interview,
yeah,
does that gain me access into any wood paneled secret rooms?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a library card that you're issued, but it's actually not a library card.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Yeah, yeah. So you get that, and there's a retina scan. It's all upgraded to the latest technology.
Oh my god, that sounds fantastic! I can't wait to throw away this old pipe and get a new Harvard pipe.
That's right. Well, we actually only sell them in pairs with cardigans now.
I went to the University of California at Santa Cruz, so needless to say, my old pipe is made of artisanal blown glass.
or is that the Banana Slug campus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess
you got it.
Yeah. I was confused them in the Anteaters at Irvine.
Yeah. what you're really looking at either way is I'm just happy I got into a UC.
Didn't get stuck with Cal State.
Yeah, exactly.